Oyeraisa.
Today's Amud is Beitza Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, 8 lines from the top, by the word Meisve. So we're still in the middle of a discussion regarding the first din of our Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah mentioned the halacha, Beitza Shenolda B'Yamtiv. You have an egg that's laid on Yamtiv. So Beis Hillel said you're not allowed to eat the egg. And we gave 4 reasons for Beis Hillel why Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat the egg. Rav Nachman says that it's because of Muksa. Rabba says it's because of Hachana. Rav Yosef says it was because of Exera of Paris HaNeshrin, because of like that. It's like the apple that falls off of a tree. And Rav Yitzchak said that it's because of Mashkin Shazavu. It's like the case of the juice which seeps from the orange. So 4 different mahalchim in why Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat a Beitza Shenol Debiyamtiv. So the Gemara now is going to bring a Braisa to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak. So says the Gemara, Meisfei, we learned in a Braisa. The Braisa says like this, Echad Beitza Shenol Debishabbos, Echad Beitza Shenol Debiyamtiv, whether an egg is laid on Shabbos, or whether you have an egg that's laid on Yontif, the halacha is Ein Metaltel Naisa. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, you're not even allowed to move it. It's muksa. Loi l'chaseis bo'asa kli. You can't use the egg to cover the opening of a kli. V'loi lismoich bakari amita. You can't use it to support a bed. I think there's a way you could hold an egg, that if you have an egg exactly balanced in its center, so you could put something very heavy on top, so you want to balance the bed over the egg, one of the legs of the bed are too short. You want to level it by putting it, over this egg that was laid on Yonta for Shabbos. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to use the egg, even l'tzarech gufay. But you are allowed to take a kli, a bowl, let's say, and put it over the egg, bishvil shaloi tishavir, so that no one by mistake steps on the egg and breaks it, so you want to cover up the egg, that's okay. Meaning there is a shita, Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds you're never allowed to move a kli, except for a purpose of something which is mutter. You're not allowed to use a kli for the sake of protecting something which is muksa. This braisa holds not like Rabbi Yitzchak. You are allowed to take a bowl and put it over the egg, and it's not a problem. It's not a problem of moving the kli for the sake of something which is muksa. So that's the first din of this braisa. The first din of this braisa focuses on the etzem din of this egg, that the egg is muksa, and all the nafkaminas that goes along with the din of this egg. Says the Braisa now a second din. V'sveika asura. Another halacha, says the Braisa, is that a suffik about this egg is asur. Meaning if you have an egg that you're mesupik if it was nailad on Shabbos or Yontif. So that's also asur. Not only is a beitza shenolda b'Shabbos and a beitza shenolda b'Yomtiv asur, but even if you have a suffik about the egg, that's also going to be asur. You're not going to be allowed to eat the egg. And then, says the Braisa, a third halacha, v'imnis arva be'elef, kulon asurais. If you have this egg, if you have a beitza shenolda b'yamtif, and it gets mixed in, or maybe even a suffik beitza shenolda b'yamtif, that gets mixed in with even 1,000 other eggs, so not only is this egg asur, the suffik egg is asur, like we said, a suffik beitza shenolda b'yamtif in Shabbos is asur, but even if it gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, even though typically you would think, okay, one egg that's problematic, it's mixed with 1,000 other eggs, so it should be bottle. Says the Braisa, no, even if it gets mixed with 1,000 other eggs, kulan asurais, all of the eggs are asur. So our Gemara is going to focus on these last 2 dinam of the Braisa. The second din that the Braisa said that suffik beitza shenol debiyamtiv is asur. And then we'll also go into the third din of this, that the Braisa says that this egg is not batal even in 1,000. But first the middle din, the din of suffik. So says the Gemara, Bishlama l'rabba d'amar mishamachana. According to Rabbo, who says that a beitza shenol debiyamtiv, a beitza that's vadi nol debiyamtiv is asr because of hachana, it's an isr da'araisa, so have you sveika da'araisa? So according to Rabbo, it's understandable, the middle din of the braisa, that the Braisa says a Safik Beitza Shanolda Biyamtiv or Shabbos, that it's Aser, Safik is Aser, that's very understandable. Because according to Rabbo, the reason the Beitza, when it's Vadei born on Shabbos or Yantiv, it's Aser, is because of Achana. So if you have a Safik if it's born on Shabbos or Yantiv, so it's a Safik Daraisa. V'chol Sveika Daraisa L'chumra. The din by Safik Daraisa is that we go L'chumra. So we could understand the din of the Braisa. Rabbo could tell you that the Braisa is specifically talking about a Shabbos that's Chal right after Yontif, or a Yontif that's Chal right after Shabbos. So if this egg was born on Shabbos, or if this egg was born on Yontif, it's Aser Midaraisa, a Safik thereby, is therefore a Safik Daraisa. We go to Chumra. It's very understandable. However, says the Gemara, Elul Rabbi Yosef Ul Rabbi Yitzchak. But according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amri Mishum Gzeira, they said that the reason why a Beitza Shanol de Biyamtif, or a Beitza Shanol de Bishavis, the reason why it's Aser is because of Gzeira. Rabbi Yosef said because of Peres HaNoishrin, Rabbi Yitzchak said because of Mashkin Shazavu, but either way, it's just a Gzeira, it's an Isser de Rabbanan. So if so, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amri Mishum Gzeira, so Sveika de Rabbanan he. So if so, if you have a Safik on an egg, if it was Nailan on Shabbos or Yontif, it's a Safik de Rabbanan. V'chol Sveika de Rabbanan Lekula. So the rule by Safik de Rabbanan is that we go Lekula. So why does the Braisa say that if you have a Safik Beitza Shanol de Biyamtiv, that it's Asura, that the egg is Aser? L'chaira, this is a Raya to Rabba, and this Braisa, which is Divrei Tanayim, is going to be a Kasha now on the Amarayim, it's going to be a Kasha on Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, who say that the reason that Beitza Shanol de B'Shabbos and Yantiv is Aser is only Midrabanan. How could they say it's only Midrabanan when we have a Braisa, which clearly states that a Safik Beitza is Aser? A Safik Beitza Shanol de B'Shabbos, or a Safik Beitza Shanol de B'Yantiv, it's Aser. So the first thing that should stand out from this Gemara is that we mentioned three Shitas of the Amorayim, and we skipped one. We mentioned that Rabbah, who says it's because of Hachana, that the Beitza Shanolda B'Shabbos or Yantif is Aser, is because of Hachana, so it's Daraisa, so then the Braisa makes sense. Ask the Gemara, but according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, so how do they learn the Braisa? What happened to Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman said that the reason why a Beitza Shanolda B'Shabbos and Yantif is Aser is because of Muksa. So what happened? Why doesn't the Gemara ask or say everything's okay? We leave out Rav Nachman. What happened to Rav Nachman? So Rabbeinu Peretz says that the reason why the Gemara leaves out Rav Nachman is because we already asked the Kasha on him anyways. We already proved on Beis Mabeis, not like Rav Nachman. Because we said that if Rav Nachman's right, that the reason why a Beitza Shanol de B'Yamtiv is Aser is because of Muksa, so why does the Mishnah talk about the egg, talk about the hen? That was the Kasha we asked on Beis Mabeis. So says Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz, being that we already asked the Kasha on Rav Nachman, there was no need to ask another Kasha on Rav Nachman from here. That's how Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains why Rav Nachman is missing from this Gemara. The Tosfos Yeshanim is brought by the Gilyon over here. Tosfos Yeshanim learns that according to Rav Nachman, this Braisa is actually very understandable. Even though Muksa is the Rabbanan, the Tosfos Yeshanim learns that being that we have an asmachta on a pasuk for the Isser of Muksa, so therefore it's treated like a daraisa. Safik Muksa is the chumra. That's the chiddush of the Tosfos Yeshanim. That even though Muksa is the Rabbanan and typically Safik the Rabbanan is the kula, Safik Muksa we go the chumra. And therefore the Tosfos Yeshanim says that the reason why the Gemara doesn't mention Rav Nachman is because according to Rav Nachman, there taka is no kasha from this braisa. According to Rav Nachman, the braisa is understandable. It says a Safik Beitza Shanol de B'Shabbos and Yantiv is Aser, it's because it's Safik Muksa. Safik Muksa, we go the Chumra. It's still interesting that the Gemara didn't mention it, but that's what the Tosfos Yeshanim says, that there's no Kasha on Rav Nachman from this braisa. But what we do have is that the Gemara clearly says that according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, that the reason a Beitza Shanol de B'Yamtiv is Aser is because of Gzeira, either Peres HaNoishrin or Mashkin Shazavu. So then we have a kasha. So why is it that the Braisa says a Safik Beitza is Aser? So says the Gemara, Seifa Asan L'Safik Treifa. Enochanami. Says the Gemara, when the Braisa says a Safek Beitza is Asura, it's not talking about a Safek Beitza Shanel de Beyamtiv. The Pasha way of reading the Braisa is that it's a continuation. It's all discussing this Beitza Shanel de Beyamtiv. It starts off discussing a Beitza Shanel de Beyamtiv. It tells us it's Muksa. And then it says, if you have a Safek Beitza, it's Asura. It's talking about a Safek of that same Beitza that we were talking about until now. A Safek Beitza Shanel de Beyamtiv. However, says the Gemara, no, according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, so they'll say, they'll learn the Braisa, that the Braisa is discussing a Safeg Beitza of a Trefa, which Rabbeinu Chananel explains, he gives us the case, that you have a hen that's a Trefa, and you have a hen that's not a Trefa. Now the halacha by a hen that's a Trefa is that besides the fact that obviously you're not allowed to eat the hen, it's a Trefa, you're not even allowed to eat the egg of a Trefa. The egg of the Trefa is also Aser. So now you have two hens. You have one that's a trefa, and you have one that's not a trefa. And then you find an egg. So now you don't know, is this egg from the trefa, in which case it's asr midaraisa to eat that egg, or is the egg from the one that's not a trefa, it's from the regular hen. So you have a suffix beitza, if it's a, you have a suffix beitza trefa. That's the case of the sefer of the Braisa. So when the Braisa says a suffix beitza asura, it's because it's a suffix daraisa. It's because we're talking about a suffix beitza trefa. So that taka is suffix daraisa, and therefore we go l'chumra. However, says the Gemara, we have to now continue on to the third case of the Braisa. If we're going to switch that the second case of the Braisa, when it says Safek Beitza Asura, is talking about Beitza Strefa, Safek Beitza Strefa, so now we have to read that into the next case of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if so, that you're telling me we're talking about a Safek Beitza Strefa, Eima Seifa. Let's move on to the third case of the Braisa. The third din of the Braisa, rather. Says the Gemara, the third din of the Braisa was that this Arva Be'elef Kula Nasurais. That if this egg gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, so all of the eggs are aser. So says the Gemara, Iyam Rebishlama Safik Yamtif Safik Chol, the way we had it until now, that it was a Safik Beitza Shanol de Biyamtif, so that created problems with why Safik was aser, but the Seifa at least was understandable. The reason why it's not Batal, even in 1,000, that made sense. Because the problem with the egg was a Yamtif Dikin issue. It was a Safik Beitza Shanol de Biyamtif, it was Safik Nol de Bechol. It was a Safik Nol de B'Shabbos, Safik Nol de Bechol. It was a Shabbos and Yamtif type of issue. So therefore it made sense that the Beitza was not Batal in 1,000. Why not? Because havidaver sheyesh lo matirin. Because this egg would then be something which will eventually become mutter. Meaning, if you have a suffix egg which was null de beyamtiv, if we would have assumed that that's the case of the Braisa, that we're not sure, was this egg born on Yantif or was it born during the week? So now, you're not allowed to eat this egg on Yantif, because like we said, Safik is Asura. But what's the issue with the egg on Yantif? It's some sort of Yantif Dika reason, either because of Peirus HaNeishrin, Mashkin Shezavu, Muksa, Hachana, it's something related to Yantif. Matzah Yantif, if you want to have scrambled eggs, there's going to be no issue with eating the egg. The egg doesn't have an inherent problem. It's just a problem to eat it on Yantif. Matzah Yantif have all the scrambled eggs in the world. Enjoy. So that's called a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's something which will eventually become mutter. It's something which if you just wait a little bit, it's going to be mutter. Now the rule by Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin says the Gemara that V'chol Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin Afilu Be'elef Lo Batal. The rule is that even though something is typically batal b'raiv, the Rabbanan said that if you have something which is a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, you could just wait a little bit and then it's going to for sure be mutter. So then the Rabbanan said, Chazal said, and it's not batal. So even though typically if you would have something, let's say a Beitza, a Safik Beitza, Shanol the Biyamtif, or even a Vadi Beitza Shanol the Biyamtif, that got mixed into 1,000 eggs, so even though typically you would think, oh, Batul Barag, you can eat the egg, even on Yantif. Chazal said, no, don't eat it on Yantif, because just wait till Matzah Yantif. Any one of these 1,000 eggs, if you pick it up, you might be eating the egg that was Nailad Biyamtif. So you might be doing something wrong. Why do that to yourself? Just wait till Matzah Yantif, and then for sure what you're going to be doing is perfectly fine. So Chazal said, any time you have something, which if you just wait a little bit, it's going to for sure be mutter, they said don't take any chances. Don't rely on Bittul Barayv when you could just wait a little bit of time, and everything is going to be perfectly fine. So that's the rule of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So says the Gemara, Bishlama, if the case of the Braisa was discussing a Safik Beit Sashanol de Biyamtiv, so then we could view this egg as a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. And the last case of the Braisa is very understandable. That's why it's not bottle, even in 1,000. Ele'i Amrit Safik Treifa, but if you're going to tell me now, in order to answer for Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, that the case of the Braisa is really discussing a Safik Beit Sash Treifa, so that's Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. That's something that's never going to become more mutter. You're never going to have any point in time where you're going to say, oh, now it's fine. That suffix will always exist. You'll always have this suffix about this egg, that maybe it's a suffix trefa, and that potential isser is never going to get any better. It's never going to go away. And if so, it's a davar she'en lei matirin, and actually, because it's so bad, it should actually be its maila, v'ti batul beruba, and it should be batul beraif. Why isn't it batul in 1,000? So the Gemara started off asking a kasha on Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak from the middle case of the Braisa, from the middle din, from the second din, which said, Safik Beitza is Asur, and the Gemara was forced into a corner to say that the Braisa must be talking about a case of a Safik Beitza Strefa. Now the Gemara is asking, if you're telling me that the case of the Braisa is a Safik Beitza Strefa, so then how do you understand the third din? Why isn't it Batul Beroiv? Why isn't it Batul in 1,000? So says the Gemara, V'chi teima, maybe you'll say, a good pshat, that there's another reason why it's not batal. So there's different reasons why Chazal sometimes said that something's not batal b'raiv. One reason we just said is if you have a davar sheyesh l'matirin, if you have something which will eventually become mutter anyways, so Chazal said, don't take any chances now, don't rely on bittul, wait a little bit. There's other cases as well though where Chazal said that something's not batal b'raiv. And one of those cases is if you have something that's very chashuv. Something that's very chashuv, so Chazal said, it's not batal b'raiv. Now there are different ways of defining chashuv. One way of defining chashuv is something which is sold by the count. You don't just estimate, you don't just grab a handful of something and buy it. You sell it by the account. You're very specific when you sell it. So says the Gemara, v'chi teima, maybe you'll say that the reason why this egg that's a suffix, beitza strefa. The reason why it's not batal in 1,000 is because beitza chashuva. It's because it's chashuv, v'lei betela. It's not batal because it's something which is sold by the count. So that's why it's not batal in 1,000, because of its chashivas. Maybe that's what you'll say. Well, says the Gemara, Hani chalamanda amar kol shadarka limanay shaninu. That's all understandable if you hold that the definition of a davar shebeminyan means it's kol shadarka ilimanai, something which is sometimes sold by the count. The mitzias bizman chazal was that eggs were only sometimes sold by the count. So if you say that something which is only sometimes sold by the count, that's enough to consider it a davar shebeminyan, so then great. So that means an egg is considered a davar shebeminyan, it's something that's sometimes sold by the count, that's enough to give it chashivas, that's why it's not batul in 1,000. Ella, but however, leman da'amar es shadarka limanei shaninu, according to the man da'amar who says that something is only considered a davar shebeminyan if it's es shadarka limanis, that it's always counted, it's always sold by the count, so then ma'ika lememar, what are you going to say? An egg isn't always sold by the count, at least bizman chazal, an egg was only sometimes sold by the count. So if the definition of a davar shebeminyan, that something is considered very chashuv, is that it's always sold by the count, so then an egg is not considered chashuv, and if so, we're back to our kasha, that why isn't it batul in 1,000? So now, what's this machlekes about a davar shebeminyan being something which is sometimes sold by the count, or always sold by the count? Says the Gemara, that not like we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that misha hayolai chavilei tilson, a person who has bundles of fenugreek, shall klaya kerem, of klayim, so yidalku. So the halacha is that you have to burn it. It's aser bahana. Nisarvu ba'acheres. Let's say you have these bundles that get mixed in with other bundles of non-klayim bundles. v'acheres b'acheres. And then, let's say, even those bundles get mixed in. Some of those bundles gets mixed in with other bundles. The halacha is kula nidalku. All of them you have to burn. It's not batel. All of them you have to burn. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim aimrim, the chachamim say that yalu ba'achas u'masayim. That no, as long as you have a ratio of 200 of regular bundles to the one bundle of klayim, so then the bundle of klayim is batel in 200. That's the ratio you need, 1 to 200. If you have a ratio of 1 to 200, so then the bundle of klayim is batel. But Rav Meir says that no, it's no matter what, no matter how many other bundles you have, this bundle of fenugreek of klayim is not going to be batel. What's the machlokes? Shahaya Rabbi Meir Aymer, because Rabbi Meir said that Esha Darko Limano is Mikadesh, that something which is normally sold by the count, something which is chashuv, it's a davar sheba minyan, it's sold by the count, so that Mikadesh, that's going to be, it's going to take on, you're going to have to burn it, it's not going to be batel. V'chachamim Aymerim, and the Chachamim say that no, enay mikadesh ela shrisha dvarim bovad. That no, there are only six things that are super chashuv that they're not batel. Davar shebeminyan could be batel. It's only six things which are really, really chashuv. Those six things are never batel. And Rabbi Akiva aimer shiva, and Rabbi Akiva says that there's a seventh thing, which also it's super chashuv, that it's therefore it's never batel. The Eluhain, and these are, well, first the six things, and Beis Yosef and Yardei and Simon Kuf Yud learns, but that's the Rambam, that this is only examples. That we're about to say six things, these are the six things, Bizman, the Chachamim, that were considered very chashuv. But each place, each time period, whatever is considered super chashuv, so those things are never batel. So what were the things bizman chazal? Ve'eluhein, these are them. A goyze perech, a certain type of nuts that come from this a certain place. The kilche kruv, and these stalks of cabbage. Udlas yavanas Greek gourd, and v'rimayne badon, and pomegranates that come from the city of Badon. The chavya istumais, you have these barrels of wine and oil. The chilfe trudin, or you have these beet leaves. The kilche kruv is stalks of cabbage. Udlas yavanas Greek gourd. Rabbi Akiva meisiv, and Rabbi Akiva added a seventh one, afki kari shal balabayis, even a home-baked loaf of challah, so that also is considered very chashuv. Haroi la'arla arla, whichever ones of these things are considered things which grow from the tree, so then with regards to arla, it's never batel. If it gets mixed into things like similar things that are arla, it will never be batel. The arla will never be batel, no matter how much chulin you have against it. And haroi lo klayakarim, and whatever is not a min ilon, so it's a shayich to klayim, so then no matter how much of this chulin you have mixed in with that same type of thing that's klayim, the klayim is never going to be batel. So again, so you have a machlaikas, Rabbi Meir says that the rule is anything that's a davar shebeminyan is not batel. And therefore he says that these stalks of fenugreek, that's klaya kerem, is never going to be batel, because it's a davar shebeminyan. Whereas the Chachamim say that no, it could be batel, because they hold that only certain things are never batel, only certain things which are extra chashuv. Now, Ve'et Marala was said about this Mishnah, about this Shita of Rabbi Meir specifically, that when Rabbi Meir said a davar shebeminyan is not batel, so we have a machlaikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, regarding what Rabbi Meir said. Rabbi Yochanan amar that what Rabbi Meir said is things which are only sold by the count. Things that are only sold by the count, that's what's considered chashuv, that it's never batel. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar, Reish Lakish said that kol shadarka limanei shaninu, anything which is even just sometimes sold by the count, that's already enough that it's considered chashuv and it's never going to be batel. So that's this machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. When we reference to machlekes about davar shebeminyan, does it have to be something which is always sold by the count, or even something which is just sometimes sold by the count? It's already considered davar shebeminyan. When we reference to that machlekes, we were referencing this machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that they argued bedas Rabbi Meir, what is it that's considered a davar shebeminyan? Something which is always sold by the count, or something which is even just sometimes sold by the count? But now, taking it back to our sugya, so again, we're discussing this Suffolk Beitzas Trefa, and the Brisa says that it's never batel, that even in 1,000 it's not batal, and we're trying to figure out why. Why is it not batal? So says the Gemara, maybe you'll say, because it's a davar shebeminyan. An egg is something which is sometimes sold by the count, so therefore it's very chashuv. That's why it's not batal. Well, says the Gemara, hanicha l'Rav Shimon ben Lakish. That's all fine according to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says that even something which is just sometimes sold by the count, that's enough that it's considered a davar shebeminyan, and it's never going to be batal. So now we can understand why an egg is not batal even in 1,000. El Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ika L'Meimer. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, he holds that an egg is not considered a davar shebeminyan. An egg is not considered chashuv, because Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that only something which is always sold by the count is considered a davar shebeminyan and chashuv. But eggs are only sometimes sold by the count, and therefore an egg is not considered chashuv, and it should be batal. So the Gemara is asking that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we still have this kasha that why, if we're talking about a suffix beitzas trefa, so why isn't the egg batal in 1,000? And this is especially difficult when we consider the fact that we know that Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that the reason a beitzah shenol debiyamtiv is aser is because of mashkin shezavu. That's what we had on the bottom of Gimel Man Aleph. The Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that a beitzah shenol debiyamtiv is aser because of mashkin shezavu. So this brisa is going to be very difficult to understand mimanifshach. If it were talking about a beitzah shenol debiyamtiv, so then when the brisa says safik asura, why safik asura? It's safik darabanan lakula. So you'll tell me that no, we're talking about a safik beitzah strefa. If we're talking about a safik beitzah strefa, so then why isn't it batal in 1,000? Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasa holds that only something which is always sold by the count is considered chashuv. An egg is not always sold by the count. So why isn't it batal in 1,000? So says the Gemara Amrav, Papa, Hai Tana, Tana de Litra Ketziyaisu. Says Rav Papa to answer for Rabbi Yochanan, that the Tana of this Braisa that mentions that the egg is never batal even in 1,000, is the same Tana of a Braisa of Litra Ketziyais. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's Machlaikis was Bedas Rabbi Meir. They were arguing what Rabbi Meir held. Does something have to be always sold by the count, or does something have to be just sometimes sold by the count for it to be considered chashuv? Says Rav Papa, that's irrelevant. There definitely is a Tana which holds that even if you have something which is just sometimes sold by the count, it's already considered a davar shebeminyan. Ein hachanami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the name of that Tana is not Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir holds it has to be always sold by the count. But there is still a Tana who holds that even something which is just sometimes sold by the count, it is considered chashuv. And Rabbi Yochanan's made it that there is such a Tana out there that holds like that. So Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that the Tana of our Braisa is this Tana who holds that something which is sometimes sold by the count is considered chashuv. Who is that Tana that holds this? Says Rav Papa, I found him. He's the Tana of Litra Ketziyais. Who da amar kol davar shebeminyan afilu b'drabanan lay batal. He is the one who says that when you have something which is a kol davar shebeminyan, which is even just sometimes sold by the count, even when you're just dealing with an issa d'rabanan, afilu b'drabanan, even when you're just dealing with an issa d'rabanan, lay batal, it's not going to be batal. The kol shekein b'daraisa, all the more so now, when we take that back into our braisa, discussing a suffix beitzas trefa, which is a potential iser d'araisa, all the more so this Tana would hold that something which is sometimes sold by the count, like an egg, so it's going to be chashev and it's not going to be batal. So now, who is this Tana? Says the Gemara d'Tnan, or some of the Girsa d'Tani, like we learned in a braisa, that litra ketziyos. So you have these litra as a certain measurement of figs, of dried figs. Shadarsa al pi igel, that he pressed it, the person, the owner, he pressed it into a cake. He pressed it back in the good old days. They used to take dry figs and they would put them into a round kli and they would squish it into the kli and a whole bunch of these dates in there, and they would make these like fig cakes out of these dried figs. Delicious, right? Igule de vela. So you had these, so this person now, this owner, he has these fig cakes, and he has to take off truma from the figs. Now, truma of figs, at least just to keep things simple for our purposes, we'll just say that truma of figs is only midrabanan. So, being that the truma of figs is only midrabanan, that's why we mentioned before that we're talking here about an issur drabanan. Okay, that was a side note. So now this person, he has to take off truma from his figs, and so he takes off truma, and he puts it on the top of one of these fig cakes. So he has a bunch of these fig cakes, squished into one of the tops of these cakes is truma. So some of these figs are truma, it's the top of one of these cakes. He has a whole bunch of cakes. And on the top of one of these cakes is figs. That's this case. He has a litra ketziyai shadar sal pi igel. He has a truma figs that he pressed into the tops of one of these cakes. Now the problem here is ve'ena yodea be'eza igel darsa. He forgot. He doesn't remember now which cake he stuffed these truma figs onto. So it's on the top of one of these cakes, but he doesn't know. It's squished in. It just looks like a regular cake. He doesn't know which cake has the truma in it. Or, same type of case, al pi chavis, ve'en yaidea be'ezei chavis darsa. He puts the fig truma, the truma figs, on the top of one of these cakes that are made in a barrel, and he doesn't remember on the top of which barrel is the truma. Or al pi kaveres, ve'en yaidea be'ezei kaveres darsa. A different type of kli. And he doesn't remember which top he put it into. So the halacha is like this. Rabbi Meir says that there's a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, what the din is in this case. Says Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Eliezer says, Rayin esa al yoinois ki ilu heim prudois, we could view the tops of each cake as if it's separated, vahatachtoinois malois esa al yoinois. And then we could use the bottoms of the cakes to help us in being mevatel the truma. Meaning like this, truma, the halakha by truma, is that it's batal when you have a ratio of 100 to 1. By kalayim, we mentioned before, according to the chachamim, that the ratio you need is 200 to 1. By truma, the ratio you need is 100 to 1. Once you have a ratio of 100 to 1, so then the truma is going to be batal. So now really, we know that the truma is on the tops of one of these cakes. However, says Rabbi Eliezer, when trying to make this calculation, do we have 100 to 1 or not? Says Rabbi Eliezer, we could take off the tops of all the cakes. So let's say you have 70 cakes. So we could view the 70 cakes as really it's 140 cakes. Because we could take off the tops of each cake, and we could count it as like a separate cake. So we could view the 70 cakes as if it's like 140. Being that only one of the tops of only one of the cakes has truma, so now it will be batal. Rashi explains that being that the truma of figs is only midrabanan, so therefore, Rabbi Eliezer gave this kula that we could be mevatalit in this type of way. That we could view the tops of all the cakes as if they were removed, as if they're separate entities, and then we could use the bottoms to help and be mevatal the top of wherever this truma is. That's what Rabbi Meir says, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says that no, im yesha mea pumin yalu, v'im lav hapumin asurin, v'ashulayim mutarin. That im yesh mea pumin, if you have 100 tops, so then yalu. So then this one top of truma could be bottle in the 100 to 1 ratio. Vim lav, but if not, so then if you don't have 100 tops, there's no doing this eights of Rebbe Eliezer of imagining the tops as if they're removed. If you don't have 100 fig cake tops, so then hapumen asuren. So then the tops of all the cakes that you have are aser. It's a taruva, so you don't have 100 to 1 to be mevatelet. So the tops of all the cakes are going to be aser, vashulayim mutarin, but then the bottom of all the cakes will be fine because you know it's only in the top of whichever cake it's in. That's how Rabbi Meir learned the machlaikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda's chalik on Rabbi Meir, and he says that no, the machlaikas is like this. That Rabbi Eliezer says, im yesha mea pumin yalu. Rabbi Eliezer holds like what Rabbi Meir said, washitas Rabbi Yeshua, that if you have 100 tops, so then it's all bottle. Vim lav, and if you don't have 100 tops, so then apumin asurin vashulayim utarin. So then the tops are all going to be aser, and the bottoms will all be mutter. And says Rabbi Yehuda, you know what the shita of Rabbi Yeshua is? Rabbi Yeshua Aimer, afilu yesham shalosh meis pumin. Even if you have 300 other tops, Lo yalu. It's not going to be mevatel this top that has truma on it, because it's a davar shebeminyan. It's something which is sometimes sold by the count. People sometimes sell the top of the fig cakes, and they count it out, and they sell it by the count. Since people sometimes sell the tops of the fig cakes by a number, so therefore it's a davar. It's a kol shedarke limanais. It's a davar shebeminyan, and therefore it's not batal. So really, we could stop right here. That's why we mentioned this whole braisa, was to come to this shita of Rabbi Yoshua, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yoshua is that kol davar shebeminyan is never going to be batal. So Rabbi Yochanan will say that the Tana of the Braisa about the Beitza is this Tana is Rabbi Yoshua according to Rabbi Yehuda. He's the Tana of that Braisa, and therefore now there's no kasha. That's why the suffix Beitza Strefa is not batal, because since it's sometimes an egg is sometimes sold by a minyan, it's sometimes sold by the count, so therefore it's considered chashav and it's not batal. But now, once we've mentioned this braisa, so the Gemara just finishes with the rest of the braisa. That darsa be'igel. Let's say you have the truma figs that you put into one of the cakes. Ve'ein yadeya be'ezel igel darsa. And you don't know which cake you put it onto. So divrei hakol yalu. So then everybody holds its batal. Ask the Gemara, divrei hakol, what do you mean that everybody holds its bottle? Hainu pluktayu, that seems to be the case we just spoke about, and we have a big machlokes about what the din is in such a case, when you have the truma figs on the top of one of the cakes and you don't know where it is. Rather, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, hachik Amar, this is what the Seifa means to say. The darsa be'igel, if you put the truma figs into one of the cakes, ve'eni idea be'ezay makum igel darsa, you have no idea where in the cake you put it. Not that you put it on the top, and you just don't know which cake, where on the top of which cake you put it. You don't bichlal know where in the cake you put it. Ila tzvayna, ila drayma. You don't know if you put it on the north of the cake, on the south of the cake. You have no idea where even within the cake, where it is. So then divrei hakol yalu. So then everybody holds that then you could use all parts of all the cakes to be mevatla. Because then it's not just on the top. Then it's also not a davar shebeminyan. Because this is not a designated part of the cake. People sell tops of fig cakes. But this isn't something that people sell. We don't know where in the cake it is. It's not even a davar shebeminyan. This everybody would hold as long as you have enough figs. You could be mevatale. But again, the reason why we mentioned this braisa was for the reisha, or more specifically, it was for Rabbi Yoshua's for Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yoshua, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoshua says, kol davar shebeminyan is not batal. So Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that he is the Tana of our Mishnah about the Beitza.